Morning, Buzz.
Yeah, good morning. How's the dog going, mate?
Strong.
As always.
Yeah, he's going all right, Clark?
No, he's going well, buddy.
Clarky and I are really gelling.
Yeah, we just got this connection, Buzz. Buzz. I don't know why. I just, you know, me and Bulldog, we just got this thing going on at the moment. Bit of man love.
Yep. Romance, Phil.
Maybe because he doesn't take up as much room as Loz. He hasn't got his feet on my chair like Loz. And
all those, you know, shorts he wears that are just horrendous.
Yeah, and he's got a different outfit on every day, unlike Loz.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Poor old Loz.
Lozza.
Anyway, yeah, plenty still doing in rugby league, guys, despite the Soccer World Cup and everything else going on.
Talking about the Tigers, Buzz, let's start there. How are we looking? Have we made the right decision with getting rid of Hastings or releasing Hastings? And what do you think about this plan from Tim Sheens in regards to, it looks to me like he's willing to do whatever it takes to play a brand of footy that he wants?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Clarkey. I did a piece in my column, What's the Buzz, on Sunday. Tim Sheens met up with Nathan Brown, the Parramatta Eels lock forward, who didn't get a lot of game time at the back end of last season. But he's very keen to sign him as a lock forward for the West Tigers next year. Now, this was the position originally earmarked for Jackson Hastings. Sheens didn't want him playing halfback and wanted him playing there in the forward. So Hastings left and took an opportunity to be the playmaker at Newcastle. I think the West Tigers will actually miss him. I thought, I spoke to Andrew Johns about this. He rates him a lot higher than Tim Sheens does. And it's a really interesting question you asked, because they've really, really beefed up in the forwards with Papali'i from Parramatta, Dave Clemmer, of course, signed last week from the Newcastle Knights, John Bateman probably on his way, Appy Coruscant. But look, I worry, Clarkey, that, look, that they need a good forward, strong forward pack like every club, but I'm more worried about their back line now.
Mm.
That all their recruitment has been around the engine room. And Bulldog pointed out on radio yesterday that, look, maybe Luke Brooks has needed a forward pack like Tim Sheens is going to provide for some time, and maybe that'll open up his game and allow him more time to, you know, to be the playmaker we all know he can be. Look, it wasn't that long ago. He was, 5 years ago, he was Dally-M halfback of the year. But it's an interesting strategy with Tim Sheens, and I presume Benji Marshall's had a lot of influence too in their recruitment. They're very, very forward heavy. But look, it's just nice to see some quality players going to the West Tigers. They've for a long, long time, and even under Ivan Cleary when he was there, under Potter, under Taylor, under Madge McGuire, they had trouble signing big-name players who could do something to lift them from the bottom of the ladder. And it's so long since they've played finals football. They've certainly got a pack now that can take them in that direction. But whether they've got the spark, the class and everything else in the back line remains to be seen.
Buzz, we touched on it in the first hour. Run us through your story in today's paper regarding Cody Ramsay.
Yeah, this is a worry, not just for St George Illawarra supporters' dog, but everyone in rugby league. Cody, who I really, really like as a footy player, a fullback at the Dragons, has been quite ill, and he's spent the last couple of weeks in hospital, in Wollongong Hospital. What happened, he returned to training a couple of weeks ago with what he thought was a bit of a stomach bug, but it's a huge off-season for him. He knows he's got Tyrell Sloane wanting his position. He doesn't want to give anyone a head start, so he really got stuck in. Did a 10K long-distance run, but pulled up really bad in awful pain and was taken to hospital. And doctors have since diagnosed he's suffering from a bowel disease called ulcerative colitis, and it's a very, very serious disease, and the only way they can treat it is with a very, very expensive drug. It's an intravenous drug that costs about $12,000 a pop. He's still in hospital. Look, he's slowly recovering. Doctors at first feared he may require surgery and that his football career could be in doubt. I spoke to his lovely mum on the weekend, who is such a nice lady, and she has moved from the country to look after Cody in hospital with his dad. And look, they're hoping for the best. St George medical staff are monitoring it very, very closely. Look, he's obviously hopefully going to be out of hospital by Christmas, and with a bit of luck, we'll see him there in the new year. And I'm not sure he'll be ready for the start of the season, but he's such a competitor, this guy. You know what? And he's not that far behind the really great fullbacks in the game. And look, I just wish him a speedy recovery. He's 22 years of age. He's really exciting, and St George need every player they've got on deck and fit and healthy.
And out of that, Buzz, you've got some info on Anthony Griffin and, I guess, the care he has for his players.
Yeah, it's a really nice story, this, Middo. I thought, and I included it in the Cody Ramsay story. For months and months and months, we've heard about Anthony Griffin fighting to save his career, which is true, but that he doesn't have a great relationship with his players. Well, Cody's mum explained that he not only texts Cody every day while he's been crook, he actually goes and visits him in hospital, said he treats him like a son, and it's just a really nice thing. And I've got another paragraph today. St George had a golf day on Friday, and Hook's playing golf with Jaden Sullivan and Tyrell Sloan, and a club sponsor in the same group. Now, these are two boys who allegedly, well, they did ask for release, but it was supposedly because they didn't like Griffin and they weren't advancing their careers with Griffin. They actually sent me a photo. I didn't have room to run. They certainly looked happy enough to me. And, look, I just think it's a fascinating story next year, St George and Griffin, and probably 6-8 weeks to prove he's worth another chance. I really like him as a man, as a coach. And yeah, I think he's copped a pretty rough time in the media. They weren't nowhere near the worst side in the comp last year. I think they finished on 24 points, was it, Dog? Something like that, which would normally nearly be enough to make the finals. So they're not far off. And I'd really like to see them do well early in the season. They've got a favourable draw early on. And, yeah, it'll be an interesting one to watch, the Dragons, early next year.
Talking about a tough time in the media, mate, Anthony Seabolt. He's a minute away from being home. What can we expect? What can we expect from him?
He flies in tomorrow evening, Clarkey, Tuesday night, and he'll be back at training on Wednesday morning, Anthony Seabolt. I checked with Shane Flanagan this morning. You wouldn't believe it, Flanner. He leaves Cronulla every day at 5 a.m, grabs a coffee, drives to Brookvale. I rang him and he answered the phone huffing and puffing. I thought, what are you? He was in the gym at Manly before 6 o'clock. I don't think he's breaking any speed records. I hope I'm not getting into trouble with the cops. But he's really excited about Seabolt arriving tomorrow. I asked him about Josh Schuster, the outstanding utility forward, 5'8", who they're hoping will replace Kieran Foran. Now, we all know Schuster had some obvious fitness issues and was overweight last year. Flano's words were, he's flying. He's really got stuck into his off-season. He's training the town down at Brookie and really running well and a lot of speed and sharpness. And he's, when they're doing ball work, and this is fantastic news for Manly fans, because It's such a big year for that club after the Pride jersey stuff, and it was really pleasing because Josh Schuster could be anything. He really, really could be, and it's great that he's taken this fitness on and is flying, according to Flanner.
Buzz, talking of key people returning to Australia, Clint Newton is back from the UK tomorrow as well. And you have some information about a vital meeting with the NRL on Friday.
Yeah, Clint Newton and I'm told the senior players on his board will meet with Andrew Abdo. I'm not sure that Peter Volandis will be there in the next step in their collective bargaining agreement. And who could believe we're less than a month away from Christmas? We still don't have a salary cap for next year. We do not have a club funding model for next year. We don't know what the player payments are. We have 17 clubs whose licences expire at the end of next season and nothing's been finalised. But look, it's been a while since Clint and Andrew Abdow have come face to face. Clint was in England for the World Cup with the senior players and also for personal reasons. And I really hope these two groups can get together on Friday. There's so much to be worked out. I don't think we'll get an outcome this week, but I'm hoping next week this is put to bed and all the nastiness between the clubs, the NRL, the players, the NRL can finally be sorted. We've still got players. Matt Lodge at the Roosters, his contract cannot be registered with the NRL because the salary cap hasn't been finalised. We know it is going to go up and it'll eventually. So he's on a train and trial contract, one of the best front rowers in the game, on a train and trial contract, and he had to go onto that for insurance reasons. And this is happening across the NRL. There are many, many other players who's waiting to sort their futures out. I'm talking Mitchell Moses. I'm talking Dylan Brown. Matt Burton hasn't signed at Canterbury yet. There's so much up in the air waiting for this to be sorted out. And hopefully it'll happen very soon.
Now, Luciano Leilua, I see that, he's become engaged, yet he's got a court case hanging over him.
Really interesting story, this one, Middle. And I'll be careful because it is subject to police and court action, so I'll be careful how I spit this out. He was charged on two counts of domestic violence shortly before the World Cup and was stood down under the NRL's no-fault stand-down policy. Those charges, he has been to court, but the case cannot be heard. I think the date is May 18. So what that means, like the Jack DeBellin high-profile case and others, he will miss the first 10 rounds of the competition until he can get to court and plead his case, and he's obviously pleaded not guilty. So what's happened since is him and his partner, who he is alleged to have assaulted, have flown to Paris with their child and got engaged in front of the Eiffel Tower, which is and he put it up on social media, lovely photos, and I really do wish them well, but this has not convinced the NRL to lift the no-fault stand-down rule. And they will wait until the matter is cleared up in court before they lift that ban. So I know he's, in light of what's happened over the last couple of weeks, his lawyer is going to approach the police and the integrity unit to try and get the matter brought forward. There's still a delay in the courts from COVID, and that's why it won't go until May. So it's an interesting one to watch. The Cowboys obviously want the matter cleared ASAP. They want him on the park. But domestic violence, guys, I actually applaud the NRL for waiting until this one's sorted out in court.
Buzz, did you manage to watch any of the PGA yesterday? And the reason I ask you that, because like Cam Smith, you've got one sweet swing, and I've played a lot of golf with Buzz Middow out there at North Ride. And Phil's swing, it's
give it a rest,
smooth
mate.
As old scotch.
Give it a rest.
Clarkie, I can mate. Tell you, I can
Buzz could not hit it 20 metres on the fly.
I could not?
No chance.
What do you like? What do you like at golf?
Have you even got a driver in your back? I can just see you pulling out if in doubt, 4-iron. Just get it down the fairway, tap it in, tap it in.
He had these old
Mate, you're not even using a driver.
He had these old golf shoes. They actually fell apart on the course one day.
See, that doesn't surprise me.
I can't control anything in here, mate.
Can you bring them into line, please? I want to say this, Parky.
I'm the worst golfer on the planet. Let me tell you that, Buzz. I shouldn't be judging anyone.
Parky, you are a very posh eastern suburbs type. Okay?
Mate, I'm a proud Westie, mate. Liverpool, through and through.
Oh, please. When was the last time you were in Liverpool?
Number 1 Leet Street, L-E-I-T-Z. 9602, actually it wasn't 9 back then, 602-6108. I remember my phone number.
Let's ring it, see why, if it picks up. Yeah.
Why I said Eastern Suburbs, I think we've got to get, use our contacts, you've got plenty. We've got to get the big sports breakfast team onto the really plush Royal
Not
Sydney.
Golf. No, I can't. I can't play. I'll drive the buggy, but I can't, well, I can't play. Yeah, of course I'm bagging you. Any opportunity, I'm taking it, of course. But no, I can't play. I'm that bad, Buzz. You wouldn't want to play with me.
Hey, really?
Yeah,
you
I know, can't hit it straight at all.
You know when Buzz putts? Buzz will putt, but then he talks to the ball on the way. He'll go, turn.
Get in the hole.
Turn
get
left,
in the hole.
Turn right. Get in the hole.
Yeah. It's Happy Gilmore.
Sorry for being competitive, Bulldog. Sorry for being competitive.
Buzz, you're being attacked at all fronts.
I'll drive the buggy for you, Buzz, anytime you like, but nah, you don't want me hitting the ball.
When's Laurie back?
He's back tomorrow.
Tuesday, yeah.
I don't normally cop this rubbish.
What about Willow from Windsor just texts in? Buzz would swing like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons.
Oh, thanks,
Willow. Oh, my God.
Oh, thank you, Buzz. Appreciate it.
God love you, Buzz.
See you, buddy.
See you guys. See you, champ. Next week. Cut up.